Welcome to Midnight Snack, everybody. I'm Michelle Collins. I gotta say, I'm cramping. My entire body is a tight fist of just hormones. And I gotta say this, I'm in a great mood. I'm like, physically, I don't feel well, but mentally, I feel great. So that's really a first. And I'm just so excited to be here with, I'm really in a good mood. I don't know what it is. I'm just feeling great. I'm Michelle Collins. I'm here with Dan Acton. Hi, Dan.
Hey. Hey, Michelle. You look great.
Do I? I actually, you know what's so funny? I texted our producer, Chelsea, before the show and said, listen, I'm really crampy. I've not a stitch of makeup on. I was like, I don't want to turn the cameras on today. I don't know if she texted that to you. I was like, I don't want to turn cameras on. And she goes, don't stress about it. I go, perfect. And so we have Jordan Carlos on the show, who is just get ready for like one of the most fun hours we've done. He's so funny. And so he was like, no, leave the camera on. And now I'm like, yeah, I have no makeup on. Like, I look like shit, but I'm having fun.
Do it. The hormones are flowing.
Yeah.
Grandpa Munster.
So Danny, first and foremost, you also look good. You've changed something about your appearance. Is it new glasses? What's the change?
Oh, thanks. I avoided getting a haircut for longer than I usually do. And like the beard is sort of coming out.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Yeah, because you sent me a picture and I was like, okay, who, like Sigmund Freud called and he wants his face back. But in a good way.
Sigmund Freud. Okay.
No, like
Albert Einstein called. He wants his brain back with the face of Sigmund Freud.
No, but in a good way. You looked hot. You looked like a hot hipster Sigmund.
Thanks.
You know.
Oh, thank you.
I had a very funny thing happen today that I have to share with you, and it's funny because I shouldn't even say this. I did tell the story on Sirius, and I really go out of my way not to double dip stories, but this is a call to action, and I've decided that I need to amplify it in order, and you'll understand why at the end, why I've decided to tell it here as well, because I'm asking something of you, the listener, and so I need everyone to hear it.
Okay.
And I hope, because I told it very funny this morning, I really hope I still have it in me. So, you know, people who listened last week know that I rented a car a couple weeks ago and it got broken into and my bag was stolen. And then the update was that I found it via my AirPods at the police station. And by the way, they still have not sent it to Florence 2 weeks later. And I told people that I met who live here about it. And they were like, oh, you know, you're never seeing the bag. And I said, but they have it. I said, but they have it there. And they said it would take 2 weeks. They go, no. I don't think you understand. They said, say goodbye to it. They will never send it. And I said, well, what if I rent a car? It's in Perugia. It's like 2 hours. What if I rent a car and drive there? Because I really want to get my fucking glasses. Forget the bag. So I literally want to say to them, just mail me my glasses. That's it. That's the only thing I need. And they go, no, we don't think you get it. They're like, you can drive there. They will not find it. They go, you will never see it again. And I was like, okay, so that's the update about the bag, is that I probably will never get it. But I did something wild.
Good thing they told.
Go on.
Good thing they told you they found it. Anyways, so it's just like brownie points that they found it.
Yeah,
and we solved the case.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't ask for it though.
Yeah. Oh, no. No. You'll never get it. But amazing, we have it. Someone who's like totally blind.
Like, they're like posting on Instagram, like posing with it, like going out.
Like what the TSA found. It's on the TSA account. I'm like, how did they even get this? No. So, I'm pissed about the glasses thing, but it's fine. But more so than that, I was really scarred after the car got broken into because, you know, that really, the thing that hurt me wasn't what they took. It was the car. I swear to you, even though it wasn't my car, like the window breaking, it just was like very scarring. And I decided I need to rewrite history because up until that point, I had like seriously one of the best days driving in Italy. I remember thinking like, it's just so free. I feel so adult. I feel independent. I have a car. It's like a great thing. Yeah. So I decided to rent a car again. Now, the place that I rented from the first time was called Tuscany by Car. Okay. They have great reviews. Obviously, I couldn't go back there because how could I possibly ever show my face in that place again? I could never go back.
Yeah, you already cracked up their car.
Yeah, I already fucked up their Jeep Cherokee. Like, I can't go back. So I find another place called Europe Car. I'm like, amazing. Book a Mercedes. Listen to this. It was dirt cheap for the weekend. I show up with like my bags, like the whole thing. This was on Friday. It's directly across a very tiny street from Tuscany by car. So I had to like comb my hair, like do a full cousin it part to like see the doorway. I like, and but I'm also shoulder wise, you can't miss me. So I was like trying to hunch in. I just did not want them seeing me. Anyway, they ended up giving me a Volkswagen T-Roc. Okay, Charles S. Dutton's T-Roc, whatever that means, it's an SUV thing. I discover right outside of Florence, this is another shopping story, but I'm going to make it quick, I hope. I discover that there's a company store for Salvatore Ferragamo, the shoe and leather bag maker, famous, also does clothing, but known for the shoes and bags. And it has some reviews, and I think, wow, I've not heard anybody talk about this outlet. It's like 20 minutes from Florence on the way on my little weekend. I had the most beautiful weekend. I went to Lucca. I went to Cinque Terre, which kind of sucked. But then I went to Portofino and Santa Margherita. It was, I have to tell you, when I think about the things I've seen this weekend, I feel like I'm in a fairy tale. Like it was not trying to sound obnoxious. It was really just an amazing weekend. But this was before all that happened. So I get in the T-Roc and I drive it 20 minutes to this little, what they say is this outlet, and I turn in and it's a gravel, it's like a warehouse district. It's clearly the Ferragamo factory, right? There's gravel road. There's no parking spots at all. Now, after what happened, I'm like sketchy with the parking. I'm very careful with the car now, you know, that God forbid.
Yeah.
Gravel parking.
Like, can you just open the doors? I'll drive right in.
I'm not leaving. I'm just like grabbing things into the car. So I'm thinking there's no way there's a store here. There's not a sign. There's nothing. There's like a big fence. I mean, it looked like a jail, if I'm going to be honest. Seriously. And but I see a very handsome guy filling up his white BMW with these shopping bags, Ferragamo bags. So I go, scusi. He spoke English. He was very handsome, really. And I said, where's all this? Where'd you get all this? And he went, oh, right there. Like, go right in there. So I go into this like industrial fence and I walk into a store, literally not a sign outside. I walk in, no one stops me. And it's indeed a company store, but everything is like bags that were $3,000 or $300. Basically, everything was 90% off of retail is what it boils down to. Okay. So shoes, flats were €70, boots were $100. I mean, it's unheard of for these, the quality, it's crazy. Now, you know, old Jew eyes, my nickname, you know, I love a bargain and I love, and I love the hunt. I love the Martha hunt of it all. I love digging and finding. It's just, it's where I feel happy. I really am like a little truffle pig, you know? And so I go to the shoes, I'm trying things on, I'm really taking my sweet time. And then I look around, I'm the only person in the whole store. And the guy is like, we're closing in 5 minutes. By the way, at this point, I'm trying on, exactly, yes, the panic. I'm trying on like hideous, like platform sneakers. I'm just like, whatever, I'm having fun.
Yeah. And he's like, this is like supermarket sweep.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. It's like the Toys R Us 5 minute Jeffrey run.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what? So now I like throw the shoes on the counter and these guys have no time. One guy, Roberto, shout out, love him so much. I'll say this, and I said this on the show. He, I don't want to guess his background or what he's into, but I'll say this. He adored me and laughed at every single fucking thing I said. So I was like, Roberto, so, like he adored me. Yeah, you get it. He was so nice to me. And so I bought like the wallets were €60, dirt cheap. I ended up grabbing this very beautiful bag. I'm happy I took it. But the whole thing, Dan, between all the shoes and everything, it was literally for nothing, for pennies. And I say, well, it was 2:30 when they closed, by the way. I say, well, what time are you opening? Are you open again? Yeah, it was 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's weird.
So weird. I said, well, what time are you opening tomorrow? And he goes, no, we're, he goes, come back. We're not open Monday. Come back Tuesday. We open. I said, great. So I literally extend my vacation by a day so that I can drive. So that, listen, no, I think you need to understand the stakes involved so that I can now drive back Tuesday morning, go on the way back to do the, you know, to work, have a whole plan set up. So this morning I wake up in Santa Margherita at this Villa Gelsomino. It's so freaking gorgeous. They serve me breakfast. I feel like a queen. I get in that fucking T-Roc and I'm driving. And it takes 2 hours to drive from where I am to the outlet. So I'm in the car for 2 hours and I'm booking it, by the way. People are like, oh, be careful. Italians are crazy. I'm like, are they? Because I was smoking these people on the roof today. And by the way, they have no police, no cops do the radar guns here. They
like
have
speed check.
They don't have it. They have robots. They have machines on the highway that literally will read. And if you're speeding, you automatically get a ticket. It takes a picture of your license.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, that's smart. Did you get a ticket?
Well, I hope not, because Waze will be like, oh, in 0.3 miles. But then I never really, I may have at one point, but I think I'm okay. Anyway, long story short, I get now to the thing today, and I show up and I pull into the gravel, disgusting driveway. And this was at 11 this morning, and this big, heavy set Italian guard in Italian, he's like, they open at noon. Basically, we figure it out. I go, okay. So now I have an hour to kill. I go to the freaking gas station. I'm like, I have nothing to do for an hour. I'm in the middle of freaking nowhere. Okay. I go back at 11:50, and now there's some people milling about, all very well-dressed people, BMWs, Porsches, but not too, like, no one's there. But I'm first in line, baby. I'm first. I wait there first. And noon comes, and a very stoic-looking man opens the gate, like this big metal gate, and he goes, do you have an invitation?
Oh, no.
And I said, I sure do. Like, you know that I'm so accustomed.
Good. Yeah.
And I said, yes. And he goes, oh, where is it? I go, well. I go, of course I have an invitation. Like, I play along right away. And I go, well, is Roberto working? Because I'm like, Roberto will fucking hook it up. Because, like, we were literally on the floor.
That's funny.
I go, is Roberto working? He goes, no, I'm Simone. Raven Simone, my nickname. I go, Raven Simone. I go, okay. I say, well, Roberto told me to come back today. Like, I mean,
He invited me.
I didn't know. And by the way, and I said to him, I literally rented a car to come here, which is a half lie, but it's sort of true. I extended the rental by a day to go, right? So, and he's like, you need a name. So I pull up and I'm like, listen, I said, they told me I rented the car. They told me to come back today. I was here Friday. And at this point, he's just taking people behind me. And by the way, I was going to lose my shit, because literally it was like mom, dad, 50 kids. And he's like, oh, you know, Monica, okay, come on right in. And all the kids,
oh,
I'm going, can't I be a kid? Make me the kid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right. He was being a dick. And
Mama.
Good memory. Oh, wow. Dan's good. Mama. The beginning of all my problems was the fucking mama guy at the sandwich shop. So wait. So make a long story short, because I feel like the story's dragging. He will not let me in. And I'm like, wait. And I'm the whole weekend, I'm like salivating at the deals.
Yeah.
My trip was better because I kept thinking at the end of this whole thing, you get to go back to that store. And like, I have friends who I told about it who were like, oh my gosh, I need a new wallet or this. And I was going to go and buy people things. I was like really excited. And he wouldn't let me in. And he actually turned another woman. I almost said another middle-aged woman, sad lady who drove there. she looked like, what's the name? Dee Dee from Drew Carey show. What was the name of that woman from Mimi?
Oh, with the Mimi. Yeah.
Eye makeup.
Okay.
Rest in peace. Right. She's probably alive. Anyway. So watch her die tomorrow. And like, we have to edit this fucking show. Anyway. Is she alive? She may not be alive. Okay. Anyway, he would not let me in, but he also turned her away. So now the reason why I'm telling the story, and by the way, I spent 45 minutes talking about this morning because I was so fired up.
Sure.
So I feel like 10 minutes is sparing people. Here's what I'm going to say. If you know any employee at Salvatore Ferragamo, okay, and I mean anybody in America, in Italy, wherever, I need you to DM me. I need them to put me in the system. I have to be able to march back into that store with my head held high so Simone can eat my shit. I have to go back. I'm like George Costanza. I cannot let things go. I can't. I hold a grudge forever. People will tell you this about me. I do. It's fun for me. I enjoy it. Is it going to shorten my lifespan? 100%. I'm not living long. I know that.
For sure.
100%. Oh, I already know. I'm like, oh.
Live angry. Too angry to
tell
live.
Tell me something. You want to be alive for 85 years on this planet? Not me.
No,
oh my God.
No way.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Please. 60 good years. I'm thrilled. I'm like, you know what?
Fabulous. Beam me up.
Beam me up, Betty. That's what I'm going to say. So, my battery's dying. Anyway, long story short, So yeah, so if you know anyone, please, please reach out to your friends, post on the metaverse. I need to get in the system. You have to DM me on Instagram at Mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. There will be a Ferragamo gift in it for you. I promise you that much. I have to have this happen. I will rent the car again. I will go there. I'm telling you, I will not leave Florence until I'm able to go back to that store. I am mentally ill. And I say that scientifically. I'm not mocking the mentally ill. I literally am. And that's the end of my story about this morning. I was like absolutely freaking seething.
That is so frustrating.
Wait, and by the way, in that famous hour that I had to kill, like genuinely like curling my hair with my fingers, I got gas down the street and I'm positive the guy who was like kind of hitting on me, he pumped it for me. Do you know how much a tank of gas costs? I can't decide how he fucked me on this because even if he put in the most expensive gas, are you ready? You're not ready. Any amount I'm going to say, you're going to be like, oh, you're not ready for what I'm going to say for one tank, 10 gallons in the T-Rock. 100 euros. I will send you the email from the gas station. I don't know what kind of black diamond gold from outer space, the Sotheby's auction. If you guys, what the fuck did he put in this T-Rock that cost me 100 euros for 10 gallons, imperial gallons of gas? Anyway,
imperial.
That's my story. So please reach out. And it's a good story though, isn't it? Like,
yeah, that's frustrating.
It's like getting blue balled with a bargain. Like, you know what I mean? And the funny thing is, and I just to point out what?
Please make this a happy ending for Mishcall, no, ladies and gentlemen. Like,
please. I'm telling you. Wait, I also, you know, it's funny because I was thinking like, Michelle, you already got lucky once. Like you got to go in because I actually said, well, is there a day when like just the riffraff like myself can come in? And he said, no. So I sort of already got the hookup once by accident.
Wait, what if you came because you came at the end of the day?
Yes.
So Salvatore was like off.
Simone was not there, so, but I know.
Simone, whatever. So I'm wondering if...
go back Friday.
End of the day. Yeah. I mean, if, you know... If the listeners don't come through,
here's the truth.
I know they will.
Here's the truth about me. You
want to show it to them.
No. The opposite. I actually only, of course, want to go back when he's not there. Because the way that I ended and I went, here's the two things I'm worried about. One is I'm worried that I got Roberto in trouble. Because I said, like, I really hope I didn't. That would make me feel bad. And I really, he shouldn't. He was such a lovely guy. That would actually fucking kill me, number one. Number two, I ended this interaction with Simone by saying, I said, let me tell you something. You're no Roberto. And then I walked away. Which is just like so dumb. But he wasn't. Because you know what else I noticed? When he turned the other people away in Italian, let me say this.
Take that.
When he turned the other people away in Italian, he was really nice. Like I could hear it in his voice. He was quite warm. And I don't think it was like a language problem. I think it was an American problem. I think he just did not want to look at my fucking ass standing there. So he was just like a piece of shit.
Okay.
Obviously, I want to go back when he's not there. But in case I go back and he is, I can't risk it again. Like I have to be able to go in. Like I can't.
Right.
So I won't go back unless I have the official thing. I can't risk it again.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh my God.
Was Mimi American or was she?
Mimi?
Sorry. Yeah.
Czech. Famously Czech. No, I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
No, I mean the person that was with you, not the literally Mimi, the person we're calling Mimi.
Oh.
Let me get on DrewCareyTrivia.org. I mean the person.
Literally two idiots. Mimi was Italian. Mimi was Italian. And then there was another couple, and I will say they were quite hot. Man and a woman. They were like sexy. I was like, okay. Like, and they were also turned away. And actually, the funniest part of the story is that after I got rejected, I still stood back and watched. I saw him. I only left after he rejected other people.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had to know that it wasn't a myth. I'm an absolutely abnormal person. I mean, there's no doubt. But it's like, I had to know. I'm sorry. I'm also human.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. And that's the end.
All right. I think this is going to turn around for you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, don't be embarrassed. Maybe don't tell the friend you reach out to the whole story, like the you're no Roberto part. I just, right, yeah. You know, maybe I should have like sweetened this story a little bit. Go on.
I was sweet as pie. I have this friend who's just angelic.
I know. And by the way, can I say that the guys from Friday were so sweet, and like I was being funny and nice to them. Like we had a good time. So you know what I mean? Like I have a good reputation with 2 out of 3 of the employees that I brought there. That's a lot, I think. Anyway, Dan, let's move along. What else? Dan, you always have some fun stuff to talk to me about. What's the latest? Give me some.
Let me see. Well, so I had like, it was a 3-day weekend here, and I had like all these big plans. I was completely blue-balled at every turn because the weather was so bad.
Literally blue-balled.
Yeah, so I was going to go out to the city and party and everything. And also, there's a global pandemic. So people, those two things together. nobody wanted to hang out.
Well, let me tell you, if you're worried about catching COVID, might I recommend doing this little weekend trip I did? Because I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you this. The secret to not catching Omicron or any of this shit is going to places where people summer in the winter and vice versa. Because there was nobody there. When I tell you, and by the way, I want to just remind people, I left America before Omicron. Like I left in November. Like I probably would not have gotten on a plane with the outbreak. I probably would have not gone. So, because I think people are like, how are you there? I'm like, I've been here for like 2.5 months. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, you got there before the whole.
The resurgence kind of thing. But people also just want to be mad. And I respect that. I mean, for God's sake, look at me. But I will say this, that I went to restaurants there where, I mean, I was, when I say the only person, it was hilarious. And they all were like, all these lovely servers would be so nice to me. They were so happy just to have anyone to cook for. They're just dying out there. I mean, it's awful. And it's so fucking cheap. Ugh. It's, I don't know.
It looked beautiful.
Oh my God. I'm not trying to like rub it in. And I realize that it's probably hard for some people to like, you know, I would be annoyed if I'm in snowy New York seeing someone in beautiful Italy being like, I hope this bitch drops dead. I respect that energy big time. What I'll say is this. It is so dirt cheap there. I had lunch yesterday sitting. It was like 55 degrees, which is actually warm. Like in the sun, you're hot.
Yeah.
And I was sitting like watching the waves crash, dogs like running in the fucking water. And I had a pasta that I've never had before. Wait, I took a picture of it. I keep calling it Medillin, but that's not the name of it. I had a pasta called Mandilli. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's basically...
What kind of pasta is it?
It's like wonton wrappers. It's just like square, very, very thin, square-shaped pasta.
Ooh, that's nice with like ragu or like a boar.
They put it with pesto that I've never had such delicious pesto in my entire fucking life. It was pure garlic and fresh greens and I'm drooling thinking about it. I'm not just saying this, probably one of the best things I've eaten on this whole trip. It was €8. Like, how are they making money? I don't get it.
On the gasoline, they make it up.
So I'm actually excited to talk about this because I went off on a whole rant about, just as a Jewish woman, how I am feeling like with all of these anti-Semitic attacks recently, the silence is deafening, folks, letting you know I feel like the only place I read about it was maybe on CNN.com. I saw almost no tweets about it. I saw no Instagram posts about it. Okay. So my mom sent me the social cues from the Times. I think it's a week old, if I'm not mistaken, but whenever my mom texts me, you know, it's going to be pretty good. Okay. She wrote, meaning this letter writer, while out to brunch with a friend, I noticed that other tables had gotten bread baskets before their food was served, but we hadn't. Now I have to stop right there already because I'm extremely fired up already. That was what? 13 words. This almost ties into the Ferragamo story in a way. It's about... It does because equity. Say it again.
Equity.
It's not equity. It's like fairness. It's fairness. So if you're at a restaurant and other people have bread, you know what drives me nuts? And I bet you everyone listening does this. If you sit down at a restaurant and you're thirsty and you ask for water and they go, be right back. And then they don't come back for 20 minutes, but you notice that every other table around you has water. That shit stings. Like, you're like, bring me my fucking water. Like, it's, I just need water. Yeah. I'm thirsty. Right. Okay. Right. I'm very turned on by this because I know where it's headed. This writer continues. She says, my friend said, I only noticed this because I'm Jewish. Okay. First of all, maybe this bitch was fucking hungry. Maybe this bitch was hungry. I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with Judaism. That has to do with, yeah. I want some bread. I would like, you know, to quote that guy, Vinnie Thomas, who, you know, I love so much, who had the, he had that viral video about a pigeon at Pride. Throw some bread. Yeah. You know that video? I've right, watched it 100 times. I see you throwing that glitter. Throw bread. Like, you want bread. That's it.
Yeah.
She says, I told her that statement was hurtful and rude, which, by the way.
Yes, it is.
It's so racist.
Yes.
She apologized, but then said that someone who wasn't Jewish wouldn't notice something like that. Now, let me also say this. Hold on a minute. You know, it's hard for me actually to speak to this because as a Jew, it's 100% something we notice. So I don't know, Dan, is that you're not Jewish? Is that something you would notice right. if you sat down and were hungry that all the other tables had bread yeah. and you didn't?
Yeah, what I notice is every once in a while, you'll just get in this like negative zone of service where like, you know that you are being ignored 100% and everybody else Thank is you. Picking up their food or everybody else is getting it. And of course, you realize that you're in the dead zone and you're just...
You're in the dead fucked. Zone.
And I noticed it. And if somebody said you just noticed it because you're whatever.
It's like...
That'd be very funny.
It's funny,
and
but it's...
Very rude.
And by the way... This is, to quote Uncle Leo, everything always comes back to Seinfeld for me, as you know. I bet that chef is an anti-Semite. This is a real thing. Like, I bet you that server is an anti-Semite.
Well, what I love about the friend is that, like, I'm not saying that you just, oh, like, okay. It's not that you noticed it because you're Jewish. It's that if you weren't Jewish, you wouldn't notice it. Like, that's how she covers.
Yeah, it's like, what? What are you talking about? Clearly, this is
Let me rephrase this.
She says, 3 weeks later, the person wrote, I'm still upset about this. I'd prefer not to see her again, but my husband says I have to confront her. Advice. Wow. This is, by the way, this is honestly for me, and anyone who listens to me knows, like, I am, while religiously not very Jewish, I'm quintessentially culturally very Jewish. Like, it is the Larry David school of upbringing, you know, of wanting fairness. It's not about wanting more, by the way, although when you get more, right. it's fabulous. But, like, who wouldn't feel that way? But it's about fairness. It's about, you know, even at the Ferragamo store today, it's like seeing other people go in and, like, not being allowed in. Like... Really right. rubbed me the wrong way, especially because I was once let in already. I was like, please don't deny me the one thing I was looking forward to most. I mean, and I saw the most beautiful sights known to man, and the store was going to be the highlight, the second visit, because I was like, I can't wait to go back in because I had no time last time, you know? Anyway, would you confront the friend? You know, it's funny. It's interesting because... I think I give good advice, and yet I realized this weekend, I don't think I do. I had a moment. Someone asked me for advice in a similar way. I am pulling, to quote Seinfeld again, a bit of the old rabbi when he goes, I met a woman, let's call her Elaine. Like, I'm like, I don't mean to air my friend's business, so I will keep it so vague that I won't even talk about it. But someone asked me advice about how to, like, basically patch up a fight. And my advice in this case was to say, hey, you know, and I'm very honest, it's someone I adore. And I said, listen, you know, maybe you did do something wrong. I'm of the school where if I ever feel like I'm in the wrong at all, I apologize immediately. Like, I don't even.
Yeah.
My. And, yeah. and you know, what's funny is that, you know, they say, like, don't expect to be treated the way you treat people. And so, and I don't live by that. And it's caused me a lot of social problems, because for me, if a friend says to me, and it's happened here and there, where someone says, listen, you hurt my feelings with this or whatever, of course, never right. my intention to hurt anyone, or maybe in some case, maybe I was processing my own hurt with something with them, you know, underlying whatever. But the first thing you do is apologize, because to me, it's so not worth losing a friendship over something so stupid and petty that can so be easily patched up with an apology. And I'll be honest, and I've had other friendships that have gone sour because, I mean, things that really did hurt my feelings, because they just weren't willing to just say, hey, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I care about you. That's it.
Right. Right.
And like that level of pettiness to me, if you can't even, as a friend, by the way, it sounds like I'm talking about you. This is not about Dan. I'm like, as a friend, I'm like staring at you down. This is not about Dan at all. No, what I'm saying, but you know, and because I've done this, like if, and Dan, maybe you don't agree or agree, but it's like, if I know that I've hurt someone's feelings, someone who I truly care about, and if I don't like the person, then of course I don't care. Maybe I need a distance from that person. Not don't care, but you know what I mean? Like it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
If it's someone I care about. So I take that when someone won't apologize as a straight up, fuck you. And you're not worth it. That's how I take it. I know that
I totally
up.
Agree.
Yeah, go on.
I mean, so one time a friend of mine at the last minute left his dog with me, because he was going away for the weekend and plans fell through. So I had to like take care of this dog. I don't have pets, whatever. I put the dog in my bedroom and closed the door thinking that the dog would like chill out.
Oh no.
You know, get relaxed.
Oh no, Dan.
He got too relaxed, or actually too hyper. But I open the door, I check on him. He's laying on the bed. Okay, great. I check on him later. He gets up. Shake it. He's so like nervous about it.
No.
He is wet my entire bed, like down to the mattress.
No.
And this is somebody that I didn't even consider. It was like, hey, I have this last minute question. You know, please take care of my dog. Can you do it right now? I'll bring over the stuff. I was like, yeah, okay. So I was I wasn't, you know, you're angry, but obviously it's not this person's fault, but I'm like, I'm angry. I'm in this situation. And I actually thought that I would never be able, it would never be like even. And then he took me out when he came back finally. He took me out to the best dinner, like just over generous, expensive dinner, wine, best restaurant, my favorite restaurant.
Okay.
And I was actually at the, it was over it was probably 200 or 300.
No, but no. That's not what I asked.
How much was it?
Okay, hold on a minute. What is this now? Because I'm Jewish? Is it because I'm Jewish?
I'm just saying, if you weren't Jewish, you wouldn't have asked that. That's all I'm saying.
I asked you, where was it? Would I ever ask you?
Where was it?
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
You said it's your favorite restaurant.
It was by my neighborhood. It's the Italian restaurant by my place.
I just Vini want the listener to know, I'm a little offended
by
that. Maybe Dan will apologize. Maybe I'm joking. Yeah, go on. So he treats you, wines and dines you. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's somebody that I've known for years. And so I was like, I actually accept your apology. I'm like happy with this. I've been made whole by this evening. It was so nice. Yeah.
But it's like a gesture. And you know what? I mean, in this case, you actually did lose something. Obviously, I'm sure you had to. Meanwhile, you're like, no, I still use that comforter.
No, I still. Yeah, I just flipped it over.
I flipped it over. No, but it's the gesture of it all. So anyway, that's the first segment. What I can tell you is Jordan Carlos is our guest today. He is such a bright ray of sunlight. I just adore him. And he's so, so, so funny. Get ready for one of the best episodes. Here it is. Start by saying already the problem with this guest. It's so funny that I'm starting with the problem, because he's arguably the nicest, funniest, sweetest person in comedy, is that we have so much catching up to do that we hadn't even started recording. And it was like, like we were just, I couldn't wait to hit record.
That's very kind.
It's true, Jordan Carlos. Let me be a host and let me introduce you like a real host. I pretend this is like some kind of professional podcast, even though it's really just me talking to my friends. First of all, a comedian. You can see him at Union Hall in Brooklyn Sunday, January 30th and Thursday, February 6th. Union Hall, so much fun. I assume on your Instagram, they can go buy tickets to that, Jordan.
They can go buy tickets to that. I have Linktree. I'm really...
Linktree.
definitely on the internet now, but doesn't have an OnlyFans link.
Okay, not yet.
Not ever. trying to maintain that marriage. Please come out. I'm working on, the show is called Are You Still Doing Stand-Up? And
that's funny.
I am. That's the, that's hilarious.
So first of all, go follow Jordan at Jordan Carlos Official on Instagram and at Jordan Carlos on Twitter. Hold on, Jordan. That title is so funny, because if I could tell you the amount of times people have asked me that, like, hey, are you still doing stand up? And it's like, well, no, because I haven't gotten on a stage since I think February of 2020.
Of 2020? Wow. No, Michelle, I'm going to just say this right now as a PSA, and I'm not being in any way motivated or hired to say this. You need to have an hour, because I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's like, yes, it's one of these things.
You'll listen again. I love you so much. Talk to me.
Well, I hate when you were doing stand up. I hated following you because it was like ether. It was always like ether. And then I'd have to like go up and be like, listen to these insights about my girlfriend. It was like so boring.
That's not true.
So boring.
I feel like I can't remember if the last time I saw you, I have a horrible memory, just so you know. So this is, I remember I did Adulting with you and Michelle Buteau in Brooklyn.
You were amazing. Yes.
Which was so much fun. But then I also ran into you in LA. That had to be before Brooklyn, I think, when I randomly saw you at the Pikey, I think, on Sunset.
Yes. Yes.
And we ended up having dinner together. We were with a group of people. I only remember you. And I feel like your wife was there, or girlfriend at the time, maybe.
Yes. My wife was there. Definitely there.
and his girlfriend was there. He's busy. That's why he doesn't do stand up anymore. He's too busy. He's busy.
Oh, that
was years ago though. That had to be like 5 years ago where I saw you there. We were kids. We're not built for LA. Can I say that in the nicest way, complimentary way possible?
Well, you embrace black. You embrace black, and not just the people, the color
and the
black
people.
And all its many, and the people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your fave color and you look great in it.
Thank you.
I'm the kind of person where it's like, I have to be like, I'm colorful for winter, because no one believes that I'm like, okay. I can't pull it off. I have to see this like little pop of at least a little color, and then I have
He's
color
got a,
here.
I'm going to describe a QVC style. Jordan Carlos right now, always dressed impeccably, has on, I would call it a dusty blue, Johnny collared cable knit sweater. It's exactly what you're wearing. It's gorge. Warby Parkers or Saul Mascots?
How did you know?
Because,
obviously
Warby's. Come on. And I'm going to say, hat-wise, can I be honest with you? I think the hat is probably from an independent men's boutique in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's.
Is it?
Can I say, you're not.
Go on.
You're not a mentalist. You're a judgmentalist, and I love this.
That's brilliant.
You're the judgment.
Wait a minute, Jordan Carlos. Yeah. Did we just come up with a show together? Did we just invent a freaking show? The Judgmentalist is so funny. Did you just come up with that?
I think yes. Yes, we did.
Okay,
yes, let's go to Earwolf right now. And,
Earwolf.
Or Stitcher,
honey,
or whatever it is.
Earwolf, I'm all for podcasts, no offense. Earwolf, baby, I don't need any more podcasting, quote unquote, money. I need money. I need money, money.
I feel you. I think you could be the judgmentalist, because you're very good at just coming shy of, like, they aren't insults. They're just... facts based upon the evidence put in front of you, and like how you want to deal with that. Like, you could definitely tell me like what neighborhood I live in at this point.
Yeah, that's true though.
I feel like based upon my clothing options, and I think there's something to it. I mean, like, who are we going to get for?
It's such a funny idea. It could be like, I'm picturing almost like a Judge Judy for horrible people. Basically, it could be one of many things. I don't want to make like a Chrissy's Court, R.I.P. Quibi style, where I would be like, maybe, because like, I love judging people. I really do love it so much. I don't like being judged, but I love doing it, obviously, because I'm insecure. But I feel like, okay, we have to take this off pod and discuss.
Yeah, I know. This is definitely like a sidebar chat. Like, but I feel as though you can take in how people, what they're giving you, and then judge, like mentally judge and make estimations about the person.
That's actually very true. But I want you to know, not only is it not insulting, you're so beloved to me that I'm hurt. The idea, I'm not just kidding you, because I'm at a water sign. The idea of hurting you in any way would kill me. Do you understand what I mean? Like, I would be the most decrepit, like crypt keeping piece of shit in the world. To anyone who ever hurts you, by the way.
Oh
no.
Yes. You're not having it.
I'm not. And you know, the funny thing is about these comedians, Jordan Carlos.
Yes,
they do. It's a tough business to be in when you're sensitive, isn't it?
It's a very tough business to be in when you're sensitive. That's why I have a cockapoo and a loving wife and who calls me the Black Rick Moranis. And that's totally fine. I think I've definitely aged into it and I'm comfortable with it right now.
By the way, that's
my energy.
Okay. And you can tell your wife this because I would say still one of my biggest crushes in the world, Rick Moranis. Oh, my God.
Like Shrunk Them Kids.
Little Shop, Parenthood.
Yes.
When he
yes.
sings to that woman in that classroom in Parenthood, I was like a little girl and I was moved, and he looks like just a guy in middle management. And I was just like, that's fucking hot. At like 13 years old, I was like, fucking, that's it.
Absolutely. And the woman that he's married to, let's be objective about this, is way, like, just a way better looking human being than Rick.
Out of his league, and, for sure.
Way out of his league, but I think it's also the mom in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh,
I think
is it?
They come back for more. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Wait, that's funny.
I'm willing to bet. I'm willing to risk it all. I'm willing to risk it all.
Well, that's the name of the new show. We are doing The Judgmentalist and Risking It All. Risking It All. It's a Rick Moranis game show where Jordan Carlos basically looks so dumb, honestly. I'm having the best time. Can I be honest with you? I have like horrible cramps. And you know, when I do the podcast, because I do the serious show and then I have to do the podcast, and I'm always like,
sure.
Ooh, I gotta like muster the energy up. Colonel, muster the energy. And I'm like flying so high with you right now. Can we stop talking about myself and talk about you?
Yeah, okay, but I'll probably redirect it to you.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm so sick of myself, but you, I'm going to open with something very shallow, but I have to say it.
Okay.
I have a lot of friends with kids, Jordan Carlos, and I mean a lot.
Yes.
And they all send me pictures of the kids, and I'm like, okay, like, and some are very cute and some are less so, but I'm always like, yeah, okay, kids. Your family, and I swear this is coming from like the obviously non-creepiest, most beloving way ever. You have the most beautiful family I have ever seen in my life. You post pictures of them and I'm like, these are the best looking children, wife, husband. What's the secret?
What's the secret? Well, okay. So the way I was like, my wife, when I met her, I met her at a nightclub and we were talking about like the Civil War and US history. And I was like, I cannot let this beautiful creature get away. Zoom to us having babies, but I didn't know that they'd be that cute and adorable. And it's really weird to walk around with adorable children because like, it's another way of being treated. Like people like give us free stuff and like want to talk to the kids and like things like that. And it's really, it's different and strange, but kind of fascinating. And I am like the little, you know, I'm the ogre on the outside. Which is great. I'm like Beauty and the Beast. These kids.
What are you talking about?
I'm like, whatever. I'm the Chewbacca, and I'm along
You're
for the
hot,
ride.
You're hot, Jordan Carlos. I say this as a friend. Go on.
Hey now. I added the color, Michelle, and that's about it. But but my wife's so good looking that they could not help but be good looking, and it's like I'll put up a post of myself. It's like, you know, I get a number of likes, and then my children and people are like, oh my god. So yeah, it's weird, and my daughter isn't gonna have an awkward stage.
I know.
I can tell.
Can I be honest with you? And how old is she? 11? How old's your daughter?
She's 9 years old.
Only 9. I gotta tell you something, and you're talking to the queen of the awkward stage. Okay. I was a very cute little kid. Again, it's back to me, but just quickly I'll say it. I don't have children to compare it to other than myself.
Right.
I was an adorable little kid, very funny. I hit 9 and I got very tall, and I just was truly I mean, I think I only, I might still be in the awkward stage, but really only very recently, but I was a very strange looking teenager. And it's one of the reasons why I am the way I am today. Like, I think that that awkward stage is why comedians
right.
cushion the trauma and their childhood trauma with laughter, because it's how, at least for me, I made friends. But is she funny? Because I got to tell you something, and I hope this doesn't sound remotely creepy. By the way,
yes.
I have two nieces. I've like never, and I love my nieces, but I've never sent my brother a DM being like, they are so cute. I literally send you one every time you post a picture of your family. I'm like, oh my God, this family. It's too much.
True. You did that. And I appreciate that. And it's, you're like, they glow. And I was like, oh my God, thank you, Michelle.
They do.
But there's symmetrical people, and symmetrical people don't have to be funny.
No.
Like I was like, I had like a big old Will Cosby nose
Come on.
And so that's what I had that. I had to grow into that. I had to grow into my adenoids, all this stuff. Like, you know, so like, of course I had a fresh, hot 10 for the class, you know, at the cafeteria.
Yeah.
But my kids are like, they don't have to do this. My son is beloved in his class.
I bet.
He already has a flex. He has his first crush smush. like
how old is he?
Kinsey. Look. So Malcolm's 5.
Oh my God.
He's with Kinsey. That's already squared away. Like, it's already squared away. And she's like, I was like, to get that attention, the confidence I would have. Oh my God, Michelle.
When you said Kinsey, I thought you were talking about the Kinsey scale. And I'm like, wow, and he's 5. I literally like did it. I was like, you know, trying to be modern. I was like, yeah. He's 5. Uh-huh. Kinsey. An 8, a 3. What are we thinking? His girlfriend's name is Kinsey. That is.
His girlfriend's name is Kinsey. That's his flex. And it's she wants to know what he's doing every day. And it's to have that. I mean, I didn't really have like a latency period. I was definitely trying to find that romance when I was on the playground, and it was not happening for me. But that's okay. That's a story for another time. I watched too many romantic comedies when I was a kid. So here
so did
we
I.
are.
But so did I. And
you did?
I'll tell you, romantic comedy is my goodness. Yeah. Of course I did. I'm like a child of that. And I had my first date when I was in kindergarten, and I remember it. And this was back when I was cute. This is back when I was hot. I was like 5 or 6.
Your first date in kindergarten?
I did. I was really a cute little kid. Like, it's hard to imagine, but I promise. And at the time,
You're beautiful.
No.
You were a cute little
but
kid.
I
yes.
looked like a little dolly. And I had a date with this kid named Kevin, who was actually like kind of chubby. Like, he wasn't a hot kid. I'll tell you.
He was not a hot kid.
He wasn't. But I was.
You were being merciful. You're being merciful.
I was being so fucking nice. But we went to see. Yeah. I was so excited about my date. And I remember I took a nap and I was like, oh God, your date's tonight. And I woke up at like, I don't know, 6. And I thought I missed it. And I started to cry. Like, I was so. I'm still the same way now. Isn't that funny? 40 years old. I still am like, did I? Miss? Like, I'm still so excited. But we went to see the Aristocats together.
No. That's amazing.
We went to see that. Not the Bob Saget, rest in peace version, the animated cartoon.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
And it was great. And then nothing ever came of that relationship. And then I had a crush on another boy who I chased around the pool. He didn't love that. So it was tough. I think being a nerdy, funny kid, it's like, and then the romance just stopped for, you know, many years. And your assistant went to Barnard, so she can tell you what that was like in school. I mean, not great. I'm so curious.
You're being called out right now because you went to Barnard, of course. Was it a drought when it came to like romance at Barnard? Or was there a lot?
I mean, I don't know her, by the way, so maybe it wasn't for her depending.
Getting it on with each other, and then Columbia's right across the street.
She says people were getting on with each other
okay.
at Barnard, and that Columbia
like,
was right across the street.
She's like a cocky bitch. I love her, but what a cocky bitch. I'm sorry.
You've been called a cocky bee. She says she was not getting it on, but you were on the soccer team, weren't you?
Not there.
Not there. Okay.
Oh, where? Like
yeah,
Andover?
I was like very.
And I was very newly gay.
No, yeah, she said Andover. She just called you out and said Andover. No, she's West Coast privileged.
Harvard Wesley?
Yeah. No, Northern California. Look at the judgmentalist at work. The judgmentalist is at work. Work.
Let me tell you. What's your assistant's name? What's her first name?
Olivia.
Oh, Olivia. We established that. Tell Olivia that I bet you she has some opinions also on Harvard West, like because
Okay, she's saying that you would have opinions about Harvard West, like, even though she determined wrongly that that's where you went to school. I mean, she was...
I heard Lick Wilmerding High School.
You went to where?
Lick Wilmerding.
Honey, that's where you went to college. That's Barnard, baby. Lick Wilberty. What are you talking about? Honey, that's Barnard. She's getting confused. That was,
Lick Wilberty? That was Lick, not on my bingo. That's a real place?
Yeah, Lick Wilberty.
That's in San Francisco? I cannot. All right.
All right. Okay. That one off the rails. I wasn't expecting. What did she major in? Just last question.
What was your major?
Theater.
Oh, wait. Theater. Did she have
an unofficial minor instead?
She wonders. I'm on such a good relay, man. She wonders.
You're really doing well. Okay, I'm
a 90s kid. What's up?
Yeah. I forget the name of the professor. There was an Asian theater professor who asked her that.
Did you have an Asian theater professor? And if so, she forgets their name.
No, he was a white man named Clint.
It's a white man named Clint.
I never met that man. Here. I never met him. Any white man named Clint on the Barnard campus or
was
at Lick Wilberty.
Was a target. I have to say this. I would walk by. I spent my summers at Columbia because I was they had student housing there, and then I would work at Nacho Mama's. I don't know.
Oh,
if you guys
remember
this.
You did?
Yes.
That was such a popular place. It was a real shithole.
Yes.
So funny.
It was. I saw a rat doing laps in the salsa once. Yeah, it was really bad. But don't ever go there. Is it still open? I don't know.
So,
it was a horrible job. I was a bar back and a bus boy, and people asked me if I was mute. And that's you know. Yeah, that's how you know if you have a good job. So anyway, I would deliver food. You want to talk about rom-com heartbreak, by the way? I delivered food at Nacho Mama's, and one night this beautiful girl walked in with her friends, and she paid me some attention, and I was like, oh my God, this is love. And then I remember she would keep coming back, and I'd give her extra guac or whatever.
Hello.
And then one time I had to deliver some food to the Columbia campus, and Columbia had frats or whatever, which is
ridiculous.
So I'm delivering this early morning, breakfast burrito. And it's the girl.
No.
It's her.
Aww.
And I was like, this is kismet. This is fate, you know? And then her boyfriend knocks the door open. He's like, thanks a lot, bro. And he's just full on in his underwear. And I was like, ugh. And he slammed the door in my face with no tip. Yeah, that was Nacho Mama's. And I just didn't come back to work.
And her name again. Was Kate
her
Blanchett.
Name?
Kate Blanchett.
That lady today.
Is Kate
that
Blanchett.
Woman today.
Wait, yes. I hate that for you, but also.
Don't look up. Don't look up.
By the way, I like that movie controversially. Yeah. Let me say this. Columbia frats. And by the way, and I am pretty sure you went to Brown University, if I'm not mistaken. I remember that.
I did. Yeah.
So we have to talk about that because I was going to ask you about that anyway, because the Columbia Ivy League experience was such bullshit in the sense that you're in New York, so you have to be a fucking asshole to be in any sort of frat or sorority. It's just true. You have to be the most basic piece of shit. And I'll say it. I hope they're all listening now. I'll say it.
Wow.
And it's true. So that guy obviously was horrible, and I'm sure she also was.
Yeah.
But the Brown University to me is interesting because I've met people from there. So people I went to high school with went there. And they're a very mixed bag of folks. They're funny.
Ooh,
Brian Foss.
Yes.
I don't know if you know Brian, who I love. Brian.
I know Brian Foss. Yeah.
Adore him.
Yeah.
But I've just met some people and I'm like, so you're the Brown University people, you know?
You're the Brown University people. You're the example.
Walk me
can
through
I give you some,
school.
Some highlights?
Please.
Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Good man.
Oh, I love him.
Chris Hayes. Okay. Was in a class with him. Brian Foss was a year below me. Love that guy. We just spoke about him. Tracy Ellis Ross.
I have a bad story about her. Do you not want to hear it? I've never told this story publicly.
Lay it on me.
I have never told this story publicly, but I feel like I have to share it with you because I've had enough. I've had enough. Let me say this about Tracy Ellis Ross.
Judgmentalist, no.
No.
Part three.
You know what? I have a better one for you. I'll say it thinking, okay, I'm going to tell the story. It's a really good story. I'm going to tell the story giving her the benefit of the doubt, because I'll look at it from the other side. I'll look at it from the other side. But now, okay, take it from me and, like, now be in my shoes as it's happening. And then you tell me how you feel. Jordan Carlos, comedian.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Union Hall, end of January.
No judgments.
I'm at the Vanity Fair Oscar party. Now, that's a start.
Yes. Any start. Are you near the VF insignia on the floor that I've wanted to stand near my whole life?
You're funny. I was in front of it because I was the piece of shit interviewing those who stood in the insignia.
Okay. Cool.
And
yes,
I worked
paint a picture.
VF, I will say this, Vanity Fair has always been very good to me. I really love everyone who works there. And I worked that red carpet a couple of times. And afterwards, it was like letting in Cinderella's stepsisters. They were like, you can go in for 20 minutes. And they'd be like, amazing. But I mean, I would look pretty. Like, I had a gown and I'd get hair and makeup. Like, I looked the part. Anyway, I'm there, and somehow and by the way, at this point, I had been on The View, and the only reason why I bring that up is because it's an important...
Call for applause.
I mean, you can clap if you want. I'll just say it. But what I'll say is that I do think it's an important thing to bring up because, like, I had been on TV before. It wasn't like I was... Not that it would matter otherwise, but you know what I mean? Like, I was someone who had done something that was accomplished at that point.
Yes.
So I'm there and I'm by the bar, and Gabrielle Union, who lives in Miami, which is where I'm from, was next to me, and we started chatting, and she could literally not have been better. Like, she was so funny. I love her.
Yeah.
Obviously drop dead gorgeous, but just funny. And we were talking about Miami and we were laughing, and it was maybe 4 minutes. Like, it wasn't like I was, you know, chewing her ear off or anything like that.
Sure.
Tracee Ellis Ross comes over and, with her back to me, cuts in between us, okay, and has her back to me and, like, doesn't look at me. And I see her saying, I don't know what she says, but I see Gabrielle going, no, I'm fine. It's okay. I'm okay. Like, she was clearly stepping in, like, do you need to be saved from this person? And Gabrielle, and by the way, she didn't know who I was. It's fine. She was doing the right thing. She thought I was a fan in that way. Who knows? But it was such an ugly way to do it. There are ways where you can grab someone and be like, oh my God, I have to ask you a question, something. And she just did it in a way that I thought, and I know Diana's her mom, I get it. Okay, Jordan Carlos, how would you feel about someone if they did that? I didn't love it, to be honest, and I've held it against her ever since. Go on.
Can I say something now?
Please.
Can I say something now?
I'm begging
you. Can I say something now? Okay. First of all, Brown makes mistakes. Okay, all right. Brown makes mistakes, just like Harvard makes mistakes.
Harvard graduate.
Yeah. Henry Kissinger went to Harvard.
Please.
Bobby Jindal went to Brown. We want a refund. Okay.
Wow.
And Tracee Ellis Ross, I'm refunding that right now.
No, come on.
I will not have it. I will not abide it.
Jordan, it was an ugly thing to do. It wasn't nice.
It was that's so hideous.
It was
that's
so rude.
So awful.
And by the way, and Gabrielle,
that's
even
so
if she was
awful.
Miserable, here was the other thing, is that if you really wanted to help your friend out, even if she was completely miserable with me, she was still facing me. So she couldn't be like, I guess she's an actor. She could have been like, what? No, like, she could have done that. But we actually, it'd been 4 minutes. It rubbed me so the wrong way. And every time I see her selling her stuff and in her ads and everything, I go, she's not nice. And I want the world to know. I know I'll never work again, but I had to tell my truth.
No, you have to. No. Let it be known. And by the way, listen, that is like Michael Showalter.
Here we go.
Who went to Brown and has...
Uh-oh.
The most cat-like cat energy in the world would never do that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He has the most tidy cat energy in the world, but Michael would never do that to anybody.
What if Michael Showalter had stepped in between me and Gabrielle Union, like, Gabrielle, do you need me to help you get out of this? Like, however he sounds. Oh,
yeah.
My God. But
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. it just looked like you're drowning. Thanks,
Wait,
show.
What was Appreciate Brown it. Like for you, though? Because was it pretentious? Did you blend? Did you learn a lot? What was your experience? I'm curious, because I think it's the best school.
Oh, it was definitely like, I felt like, oh my God, I felt like the character in The Great Gatsby, when, the main character, not Gatsby, but the narrator, where you're just like, I'm in it, but not of it.
Right.
And like, I was coming from the South. I didn't know how to layer clothing. I'm sure coming from Miami, you'd never layered clothing
ever
in your life. Then also, like, you're hanging out with Rothschilds. You're hanging out with, you know, I met like
a Vanderbilt, like, you know, I mean, they're my friends now, longtime friends, but
no, you've changed.
But you're meeting these.
Okay, yeah, go on.
I've changed. Yeah. I've changed. I'm worth their time. No, but you're meeting these people, and of course, you get so insecure. Mm. I was just a spectator, and I learned more outside of the school than inside of the school. What I learned about school was, even if you're like, if you're connected, you're going to make it in the world. Mm-hmm. And if you're just like some, you know, knuckle dragon hick from Dallas, Texas, you better work that much harder. And it was grueling. I mean, it rained there like all the time. I didn't really want to be there. There was like no place for a black man to get his hair cut.
Wow.
Michelle, it was every stop on the struggle bus. Like, it was crazy. And I didn't have a car, and it was just rough. Yeah. I mean, in fall, yes, it's pretty, but like, I'm in no great hurry to get back there, but I'm really hoping my kids get in. Come on, Brown. That's why I keep giving money.
We'll scrub this. We're going to change that. I'm going to be like, can you say there were so many places for you to get your hair cut there? Like, we just changed the narrative. Can you just redo
there
that?
There was literally just black students cutting each other's hair. Like, it was like we were in prison or something.
No,
like
are
that.
You serious? But,
that's how like out of touch. Like it was, I'm sure it's much better now, but like, I would much rather have my daughter go to like Smith where my wife went.
Oh,
it's just so much. Just because it's
a good school.
Because it's a good school. Yeah, I love it. You know, I mean, Frederick Vall Olmsted like designed it. It's so pretty. The campus. Wow. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm totally getting my daughter in this school. But it's just like the campus is so pretty. It's empowering, you know, like, and I feel like people like, I think Ruth Simmons went to Smith, I'm pretty sure, or she was the president. But I feel like it's a place where, like, my wife went there and she's not afraid at all of men. And, like, I want that for her. My college experience is just like, ugh, take it or leave it. And, like, I didn't really learn that much. And so I'm kind of like an autodidact, and I learned so much more out of school.
Yeah.
And
you have the name. Yeah. I mean, listen, I feel like, just to be able to say that's you have the name, and it actually, that is worth, I hate to say this because like I have a niece who's going to college, and it's been a big thing about where if it's right. Like I was about to go to the University of Florida, and then I was actually waitlisted at Barnard, and then I didn't do shit about it, and then they just let me in, which I was like amazing, but then I failed my statistics class and I started on academic probation. That's a little, my teacher thought my name was Colleen because my last name is Collins. And it was a problem for me, so I just stopped going. That's a true story.
Like, in statistics class?
Yes. I was like, what are the odds I ever come back? Zero.
What's the Gini coefficient on that?
Wow, look at you. Damn, okay, you learned something at Brown, honey. Come on.
I tried, they were spending a lot of money for me to be up there to fuck around.
Yeah.
So I was just like, ugh, I had to do better. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, what I learned was what I didn't want to do. And I think that's the most important part of college. Like, I got a degree in business. I was going to go to, like, Wall Street. And then I said, like, last minute, yeah, I didn't want to do it. And so I, you know, pursued comedy, as you know. But along the way, you had to, like, build the car as you drove it. And because of that, I felt a little, like, stutter-stepped. But that's okay. Like, it was a bit of a stagger start, but now I'm in a good place. Like, which brings me to where I am now, Michelle. Like, oh my God, how do we do that?
He keeps side-eyeing his assistant. By the way, when you said it before, I thought you were kidding. And I'm only saying that because I've never in my whole life had an assistant. So you're like, yeah, let me ask my assistant.
What are you talking about?
In my life, I've never had an assistant. I've had like producers, which, you know, and shows and like, but never, I've never hired someone to like help me do shit ever.
First of all, Olivia talked me into being my assistant because, like, the first time she got me a fucking juice, and I almost cried.
Oh,
like,
because
I'm so used to doing things myself.
Yes.
I can't. Yeah. You know, and then, like, relenting and giving up that kind of, like, control is, like, it was so much. And I was like, I can't afford this, but I can. And so, like, it was just, for the first time, I've been able to do it, and she's totally worked out so much in my life, and I feel so much the better about it. Yeah. So
should I get one? Should I get an? What would they
do? Should you get one?
What would they do for me?
What would they do for you? What wouldn't they do? Like, she had a chai waiting for me. She's like, let me know 5 minutes before you come so I can go down and get the chai.
What?
Sure, bud. She's got water over here.
Okay, she's just giving you liquids so far, which I respect. But literally every single example has been juice, chai, water. I'm waiting for her to do some other shit at some point.
Yeah. I'm mostly liquid. That's my needs are mostly liquid. My needs are mostly liquid based.
Yeah.
No, she's emails. I'm gonna have her send emails, wow, like coordinate schedules. Let's see. I'm doing a dinner like this weekend that we've been like, that was like long-term planning. So doing that, like just making sure that everything flows easily because I'm all thumbs at this stuff. I'm all thumbs, you know?
God, I really know. You know, Jordan, you really got me thinking here. I'm like, I spend all day returning packages to ASOS. If I could pay someone to do that for me, think about how much work I could do. I mean, like, that's 90% of my day is taping those black and white plastic bags up and then just toting them to the post office. I would love
everybody her. Knows. Mm. Yeah, but genuinely. Everybody knows. Like, when my wife gets stuff, she's a Brooklyn, New Yorker. Like, when my wife receives a package, like, from online shopping.
What?
I believe, didn't you say this? It's the beginning of the conversation. It's just the beginning of the conversation when she receives the clothes.
I don't think I said it, but I understand that.
That wasn't your bit?
Was it my bit? I don't know. I have so many bits. Who the hell even knows? Yeah, go on.
So many bits, which should go into your hour, which is what we're here to talk about.
No, Jordan. But
this is a low-key intervention.
Please produce it with me. Have your assistant help you help me produce it. I would love that. Honestly, I'm not even kidding. I'm having so much fun. I actually just looked at my clock because I'm not joking that a thought I had was, I'm going to be really sad when this is over.
me too.
I thought that. I'm like, oh no, only 20 minutes left.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, listen, she's right here, so I have to say nice things.
But she's
the most, and I try to be like a European boss. I'm like, no emails after 7.
I love that. That's this, not European.
Like, you have to.
Excuse me.
Really? In France?
Jordan, hold on a minute. Now I'm going to be like Olivia's union rep. Europeans stop working at 4 o'clock. I tell you this, I had to get a pair of boots repaired. These motherfuckers, they open at like 10:15, then close at 11:30 for lunch. They're closed until 2:30. You have to look at, and then 2:30 to like 5 o'clock. So European, 7 is nice, but you're a nice American boss. You're not European.
I'm a nice American boss. Yes. I'm aspiring to be European. I just heard in France there was a law that you could not send work emails after 7 p.m.
Oh, my God.
She's such a hard worker. She don't care.
I guess the French shouldn't fuck off after all. Can you imagine? I hate the French.
Yeah.
Wait. It's the only group of people you can openly say that you hate. And, like, everyone is like, yeah. It's the only group I could say, like, I fucking hate the French. And people are like, yeah. They're the worst, mother. I don't even say that about the Germans, okay? And you know my past. I don't hate the Germans. I fucking hate the French. I'll tell you that. Mm-mm-mm.
What do you hate most about the Germans? Or I'm sorry, do you hate most about the French? What I hate most about the French is I speak pretty good French. And when I go to Paris, I'll speak, you know, I'll understand and I speak it. And then they're just back with the English at me. Like a kind of like weaponized English. And I'm just like, God damn it.
Condescending.
Like I am doing my, it's no bueno, and it's not appealing. I don't get it, but Paris is still beautiful. You know,
it's not my town.
People that are in it.
It's just not my town.
It's not your town?
It isn't my town. I know. I have friends who live there who I do like very much, but it's really not my town. And their version of being funny, first of all, Jerry Lewis is like the biggest fucking piece of shit of all time, and they worship him. He's literally the fucking most disgusting person. Sorry to all those sick kids. He's horrible. Okay, he's like the Tracy Ellis Ross of the telethon community.
Yes,
I'm joking.
I think he went to Brown. Actually,
did he?
No.
So stupid. I'm literally so dumb. I was like, what? Yes. This is crazy.
The judgmental strikes again.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Yeah. No, but when they try to be funny, the French, in my experience, my limited experience, because it also doesn't happen that often.
I love that. I love Michelle. Just to stop you for a moment, please. I love the TED Talk in my experience that you just put out there. You're like, let me just qualify the statement by saying these three magic words so you can't argue with me. In my experience, please go ahead.
That's really funny. And by the way, before my hour, I would like to do a TED Talk. So have Olivia also work anything that for me. I will pay her. I will pay her. Okay.
TEDx. It's coming.
Chai budget through the freaking roof. This girl is going to be knee deep in freaking chai. She doesn't even know what's coming. Extra spacey, extra creamy, anything she wants.
Yes.
They think they're funny, Jordan Carlos, but they're actually just fucking pieces of shit. And you're like, you're actually like the British will insult you, but it can be funny. Like once in a blue moon, it goes too far, but the British have it weaponized in the funniest way. The French aren't funny. So like when they come at you, you're like, wait, you literally just said I'm fat. Like you didn't, there's no twist on it. Like I need, give me something else. And they're like dying laughing. You're like, wait. You just call me like a fat slut. That's not a joke. You know, anyway.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, this, no. I want to know the names of who hurt you.
Oh God.
I'm going to show up to their fucking door.
You have to extend your heart out because I know you got a heart out. It's we got to be here all day, honey.
I do have a heart out.
I know everyone's hurt me. You know that. You know that. No.
But you're at least licking your wounds in the most beautiful place in the world in Italy because I don't know what town you're in. I have no idea, but it's like a Wes Anderson film. Meets like Mamma Mia. I don't know what the fuck.
That's so nice. Wait, you have to see the ceilings. Yeah. I'm in Florence, but look at the ceilings in this Airbnb. Look how beautiful. The furniture's ugly, but this room is just from the 15th century. Stunning.
Yeah, Michelangelo is like a model, lived there or something like that. Just like spent his days. Yeah.
Yeah, she was like coked up all the time. She was just like, Minky, I don't want to get out of that. I don't know what I'm doing right now. His model makes me laugh.
His model, absolutely.
Let's turn the lens back to you. Can we talk about what you're working on? Because you have shows through the roof. I feel like you are a mogul. That's why you have an assistant. It makes sense. You're doing this AMC show, which I love the concept of the show. And I feel like it's just so timely and so funny. You're hosting the show. You better be on camera. I'm going to have some words.
I'm hosting a show. Yes. I only have it because people like you aren't available. But
that's actually the funniest thing you've said. Sorry, this whole hour that I'm not available. I am so hyperactively available. I'm living in Italy because I'm so available that I'm like, I'm not going to be available in a town where people don't want me. I'd rather, you know what I mean? So, okay, back to you.
Okay. That's kind, whatever you're saying.
But go on.
Here's what happened. I've got this show. It's called Can We Talk About This? It's about like the most problematic elements of the movies that we still love. It's the sweet. It's the sour of it all. We've had amazing guests. We've had Ava DuVernay. We're going to. We just had Mario Cantone on, who talked love about him. Saturday Night Fever. He's got feelings about that. We had John Lovett from Love It or Leave It. So it's so much fun. We talk about the movies that we still love, despite the fact that there's so many problems with them. But, you know, be it like Forrest Gump, be it Lethal Weapon.
Oh, God.
It doesn't matter.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Mario. Yeah, Forrest Gump. I mean, what's to say? Like, what's to say? There's so much.
Okay, we have an open casting call for neurodivergent. That's a word that I had to use so many times. I know it now. I actually think it sounds really pretty. I'm like, I want to be neurodivergent. Tom Hanks playing that. What about, I mean, think of the parts like Cuba in Radio. Yes. Like the fact that Radio got made.
Yeah.
My eyeballs right now, I'm like Felix the Cat clocking. Like, I cannot believe riding the bus with my sister with ex-View host Rosie O'Donnell. Who said to Rosie, and it's like, I get it. You want your, you know, Emmy, whatever it is, limited series.
Yeah.
How could someone just not stop in the middle of production and go, no, this is horribly wrong. How could they do it, Jordan?
I think movies like Radio and Sam I Am, I think finally people were awaking to the fact that this is a formula and paint by numbers. You know what I'm saying? That they were like, you're just trying to get an award with this. So those movies thankfully have not been on the roster, but there've been some, like, you know,
there have been some bangers in there that I've really enjoyed. You have to look back at like Mr. Mom. I hadn't seen Mr. Mom in forever. And the premise of Mr. Mom is that the mom goes away for like a week and the dad can't handle it. He puts 4 pounds of washing detergent in the washing machine, 4 pounds. And then the exterminator comes and he just loses his mind. He can't handle two things at once because he's a dad.
Yeah.
And then but that was like a premise in the early 80s. Just like dad can't do it. And
I can't wait. I got to watch it. Like you're talking about
you
like
watch
that.
It.
I got to see this thing. Yeah, go on.
But it's such a fun show because it's like, you know, you're just getting like paid to watch the movies that you grew up with. I had so much fun. Like me and Michelle Buteau, we did Pretty Woman and basically I was like all these problems with Pretty Woman. You know, it's like, it's a rescue fantasy, da 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 da. Michelle, of course, turned it on its ear, had all the producers like feeling her side of it, that she was like, you know, I don't know. I love every minute of it, every frame of it. I don't have a problem with it, you know, because it's Michelle Buteau. And by the end, people are eating out of her hand. Yeah. And I was like, God damn it. I'd taken all these notes, you know, and it was all for naught.
But
it was,
also
it was all for
women,
naught.
I mean, she's right, because women love Pretty Woman. Like, I think, you yes. know, honestly, let's be real. I'm trying to put this in a way where, you know, what is online dating if not modern day Pretty Woman? Like, let's really talk about it. No, what I'm saying is, think about it. No, hear me out. Like,
Michelle,
not for me, but I'm saying for a lot of these
women.
This
is starting to sound like the conversation that I had with Michelle. Yes, go ahead. Please go ahead. It's like
yes.
online dating?
Yes, because I'm saying that, like, think about it.
Okay.
She was, you know.
Yes.
He was gorgeous. He wasn't sleazy. Yes. He was not, even though he hired a prostitute, I don't think he was sleazy. I'm sorry. If you knew what these guys that I'm going out with in Italy are like, Richard Gere is like Prince Charming. I'm trying to think of something funny. Like, I almost said Prince Andrew. Can you imagine? No. He's like Prince, a regular Prince Andrew, a real charmer. No, he's like so suave and he doesn't make her feel gross, except for one time when she left. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
he's really nice to her and she's obviously beautiful and stunning. Like every girl watching that is like, I wish I looked like Julia Roberts. There's not a woman who doesn't envy her beauty in that movie. And I'm like, and she's funny. Okay. She's like a tough talking gal. I love that movie and I would love to be her in it.
Jason Alexander is the only person that's honest with her in the film. And though he's a creep in it, he's honest. And then he just like stops. He throws Jason Alexander out in his ass. He's like, she's a prostitute. Not to say that sex workers shouldn't find love, but I don't know if it should be like that. I'm not sure if it should be in that manner.
They had chemistry.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Now, yes. You're also working with, I almost called her Phoebe Bridgers. Can you imagine? This is like the kind of day I'm having.
I'm working with Phoebe Waller-Bridgers, yes.
Too many Phoebes. It's like Olivia's. There's too many Olivia's, too many Phoebes. Phoebe Robinson, yeah. Very funny yes. author and comedian.
Yes.
And she's turning her book into a show and you're working on it.
That's right. It's called Everything's Trash. It's so much fun. And Phoebe and I are playing brother and sister on the show, but I'm also writing on the show, which is really, it's great. It's just like, love to be on both sides of the cam. It's really cool. Like auditioning with Phoebe was amazing. I forgot, but because of quarantine, you forget like how much actual chemistry you have with your friends and
That's
how
true.
Much fun you can have together. And it's just the culmination of so many things. You know, she's like a rocket ship. She's just taking off. She's off. She's doing great.
Yeah.
But like, I used to drive her home from shows and she would just tell me about all these things she wanted to do. She wanted to have a book imprint. I was like, sure, do that. What? But like, you know,
and has one.
Yeah. And was able to do it. And to be able to now help her with this it's incredible.
It's
great.
Yeah. You know, it's also nice because it's like every generation of comics, if that makes any sense. Like the people that you came up with are like this weird family in a way. You keep those friends basically for the rest of your career. So,
yeah.
You know, and it's just an amazing experience to get to work with people who you've I mean, you've probably been performing certainly with Michelle, because Michelle has been around since we were all starting to, like, for
kids.
I mean, 15 years, 20 yeah. years. It's got to be forever. Yeah.
Absolutely. The first time, like, me and Michelle really deeply connected and became friends, like, she was doing stand up at the Village Lantern, hold for applause, and with me. And then this, I was like, she was really sad. I'd never really seen her that down. I was like, what's the matter? She's like, I invited this guy to the show. And then the guy invited a date.
I am actually, like, I'm going to text her after this and be like, okay, weird. We have to rewind. I mean, she's now married with children. Like, she's doing fine.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, I would have lost. How do you perform in front of that? That's awful.
Well, that's the thing. She did, and she did well. And then after, followed her, and then, like, I just read him for filth.
Oh my God,
and didn't
I
even really
so
do my
much.
Act. Yeah. I was
did you
so
call
mad.
Out what did you call out what he did?
Yeah. And then we just became besties after that.
Oh. By the way, he's here. No, I love that joke. And he's here.
Now, yeah, it's right.
And his name is Ron Howard. Ron.
He's sorry about that. Sorry about backdraft.
Yes, that's hysterical. Wow, I love that. Because you're a real one, George. Like, you just, you know, it's funny. There's so few people in this business who, like, I don't know. I've never heard a negative word in my life said about you. Like, that is like, that never, may I drop
that? I finally did. And it's so refreshing. Somebody was saying that, like, there was this one comic who had just, he'll remain nameless, but he'd been jumped on the subway, and I was worried about him, and I saw him, and I was like, hey man, are you okay? And he was like, he's like, oh my God, Jordan, me and my friend were just talking about you, and we did an impression of you that you're like a narc and you have this positive energy. And I was like, thank God. Look, happy to hear.
That's not even talking shit. Do you understand the things people say about me? That's nice. That is nice. Okay, go on.
That's because they're let me tell you something.
Go on.
They hate us because they ain't us. They're jealous of you. You rape your wit. Like, by the way, Michelle Collins, like, I have the biggest professional crush on you.
What?
Because of just the connection between your brain and your mouth is amazing.
Oh my God.
The things that you know, the references that you make, I'm like, burn the joke book, and which should just be the name of your special.
No, honey, it's like, the judgmentalist. You're not understanding me. Listen, listeners, we're not editing this out. Listen to me. You're laughing. I know you're busy. You got all these liquids around you and all these shows that you're working on. We need to pitch a show. I'm not being funny. Like, this hour with you just now has been, I'm not even just saying this to you because you're being so sweet to me, probably the most fun I've had in months. I'm not just saying that. Like, I am having the best time with you. And I'm just saying, like, let's make a show. I really would in a minute.
Yes. If you really want to do this, I will do this with you.
I swear in my life.
If you really want to do this, I will do this with you. And we can find the right format, because what it is the kernel is there of the judgmentalist. And I absolutely love it.
So funny. Jordan Carlos has to leave.
He's
what we call a professional hard out, because he's a busy man. And I'm very grateful that you spared an hour for me today. I really mean that, because I know how busy you are.
We've learned so much. We've learned that Brown makes mistakes. And we've added another person to that list. We've seen just how life
is.
We talked a lot of shit at the end, because
I love it.
Because you gots to, you know, buon pranzo, buona sera. Did I just say good lunch? I'm sorry.
You said buon pranzo, and I literally said, does Allison Roman cook that? It sounds really good. Jordan on Twitter is Jordan Carlos. On Instagram, Jordan Carlos Official. But listen, forget that. Go see him live. And you're doing your hour at Union Hall, right?
I am. And I'm still doing it. Absolutely.
And the name say the name one more time.
Are you still doing stand-up, Jordan? Yes,
I am. So funny, Jordan. Listen, you can go to unionhall.com, I'm assuming, to buy tickets. January 30th and Thursday, February 6th. Please, everybody, anywhere near New York, I don't recommend you see people that often. You have to go see Jordan Sauer.
You are so
funny. And honestly, your success, all the goodness that comes to you is because you're so good and lovely. And that's just true.
And I feel that, like, mirror to you, I accept that. And I feel like the exact same way about you. I think the Earth is a better place because you're in it.
Jordan.
And there aren't that many public intellectuals left in this world, especially ones with you who have almost like an Algonquin roundtable type wit. And I just love that you're out there in this space and making it happen.
Just say something. I'm just going to call it. This has been one of my favorite episodes of the show we've ever done. I'll say it. I adore you, Jordan. And listen, good luck at your more important meeting at noon. But everybody follow Jordan, go see Jordan live. And when your projects come out, I'll promote the hell out of them. And I just adore you. Have a great day. And guys, thanks for listening to Midnight Snack. I'm Michelle Collins. You can follow me if you like at Mish Call. If you want to leave a review, if you like the podcast, do that. Everyone DMs me. I'm like, don't DM me. Publicly DM the world and let everyone know. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How did you add that heart? I've never seen that before.
Oh,
Reactions. What?
Yeah, reactions.
That's the most fun ever.
There you have it.
I've never done that before. Okay, Zoom trick. All right, Jordan, I love you. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening. Mwah. Midnight Snack is an Earwolf production, executive produced by me, Michelle Collins. Our producer is Anita Flores, and our sound engineer is Sam Kiefer. Special thanks to my friend Dan Acton. You can listen to our ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use the code SNACK. Please rate and review Midnight Snack and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. You can follow us on Twitter at MNightSnackPod. That's MNIGHTSNACKPOD. I love spelling. Midnight Snackers, we would love to hear from you. Send us your feedback, questions, or topics we should chat about. You can leave us a voicemail on our party line at 331-901-0005 or drop us a line at midnightsnack@earwolf.com. For more of me, tune into The Michelle Collins Show, live weekday mornings from 7 a.m. Eastern Time on Radio Andy, Sirius XM 102, and on the Sirius XM app. You can also follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Mish Call, MICHCOLL.